God is not dead. You know, that's still a true statement. God is not dead.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
God is not dead. You know, that's still a true statement. God is not dead because he lives in us. We are the very physical embodiment of Christ in the world. And we need to live and share that message. So this morning, as we talk about being the gathered body of believers, we have some responsibilities to live and into that body, into that gathering. And I want to share those with you this morning about what it means to be the gathered body of believers. So let's gather for worship and prepare to sing this morning.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Oh God, you are wonderful, and you are the great shepherd, and you are the mighty king, and you are so many other things as well. Until this day, as we gather at the gathered body of Christ, or we pray that you will continue to pour out your resurrection power upon us, that we may sense your spirit around us and moving in and through us. So be with us now as we gather, as we share together your word, and we hear your word proclaimed in song, and we share together. We ask your blessings upon our time together. We ask all of this in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then moving on to 12 through 14. In my first book, Theophilus, I wrote about what Jesus began to do and teach. This included everything from the beginning of his life until the day he was taken to heaven. Before he was taken to heaven, he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his death, Jesus showed the apostles a lot of convincing evidence that he was alive. For 40 days, he appeared to them and talked with them about the kingdom of God. Once, while he was meeting with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for what the Father had promised. Jesus said to them, "I've told you what the Father promises. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with Holy Spirit." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called the Mount of Olives. It is near Jerusalem, about half a mile away. When they came into the city, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, went to the second-story room where they were staying. The apostles had a single purpose as they devoted themselves to prayer. They were joined by some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they were joined by his brothers.
So we hear now from still second Acts, second chapter of Acts, verses 43 through 47. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and good and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Luke opens the book of Acts with a note to Theophilus, who he's writing to in Luke as well, about an account of what happened before Acts. So in case you had not read the book of Acts or never read the book of Acts, you have a little summary there at the beginning of Acts as to what happened before what's about to happen in the book of Acts. And so we hear Luke tell Theophilus about the fact that Jesus had done many great things and many great wonders and how he was an important person. And then it goes on, we've heard Holly read that they had gathered in the upper room and she read that list of disciples. And of course, we know that later on, they would cast lots and they would vote for Judas's replacement, who would eventually become Matthias. And then they would be reconstituted at that point. But we're going to talk about those last four verses this morning because it really deals with a gathering of those people that we heard about, as well as some women, particularly Mary, Jesus's mother, who we have to think must have gone on to become her own minister in her own way, sharing what she encountered, what she experienced, being the mother of the Son of God and helping others to understand who Jesus was as well. But I want us to look at, there are four characteristics that we need to think about as the gathering of people, because we are that gathering in the 21st century. And hopefully we can accomplish, and we do accomplish these things as the body, as the church, but sometimes we're not always quite there. But it's still nevertheless a place to shoot from, a place to start at, and to ask ourselves, how are we doing on these things? First of all, holding fast to the teaching of Scripture, or the kerygma, that Greek word for teaching Scripture. And I'll go back and talk about these a little bit more. Koinonia, spiritual communion and sharing of personal possessions. Sharing, and third, sharing of meals and sharing in commemoration of the Lord's Supper, or we think of as diakonia. And then prayer, both in the temple and at home, wherever we are. So let's talk about the kerygma, that sharing of the Scripture. Sharing of the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, sharing of the miracles that Christ did, and helping other people to understand who Jesus is. It was interesting, last night I had sort of forgotten a little bit about how God Is Not Dead plays out, but if you've not seen it, I'm going to tell you about it anyway, then you'll have to go see it, all right? But it's a wonderful story because it's a wonderful story about four or five different individuals who all have their own unique story, have their own unique situation, and how they come to an experience of Jesus Christ. The story, as you may or may not know it, deals with a young man who shows up in a philosophy class on the first day of school and college, has a girlfriend, by the way, who they end up breaking up because she tells him that the deed he's about to do is just literally ridiculous. But he has to write on a piece of paper at the behest of a professor that God is dead. God is dead. And they're all supposed to sign their name and hand that paper in. And you see him struggle at the beginning of the movie trying to write that out because he knows that's not true, for him at least. All the other students are busy writing, God is dead, and signing their name. And he's sitting there trying to get the pen to the paper, and it's just not happening. Fast forward to a young lady who is obviously raised in a Muslim culture, goes to class, dropped off by her father, who is a very strong Muslim man, but in her private life, she has already begun to make the turn from the Muslim tradition and has found her way into believing in Christ and is listening to Franklin Graham and other things on her iPod, her iPhone. Her brother finds that she's listening to Franklin Graham, and she swears him to secrecy about not telling Dad what she's doing. Young woman who works for an executive and who is learning her way in the world discovers that she has cancer and is rebuffed by her boyfriend because she has cancer. Wants nothing to do with her. Another young lady who is a sister to the young man who rebuffs the young lady. They have a shared mother who has Alzheimer's. And that young lady is in a relationship with the professor who wants nothing to do with God. And she, on the other hand, however, has a very strong relationship and was moving toward God. All of those folks had to have someone who introduced them to Jesus Christ. Because in the end, they all come. And another young man, by the way, who comes from the People's Republic of China and who begins to talk to his father in China about his discovery about who Jesus is, and his father wants not to hear anything about that. All of these individuals come to a relationship with Christ, even the professor at the very end of the movie, who ends up in an accident, who vehemently denies that Jesus Christ exists, that God is dead, has an accident, and as he's dying in the middle of the street on a rain-soaked street, confesses to a pastor that he's not ready. And that pastor leads him into a deathbed conversion, if you will. Each of those people had to have an encounter with the proclamation of Scripture. The kerygma was expressed to them. Our job as the gathering of people is to continue to share the message. We don't have to be pastors. You don't have to be excellent Bible teachers. The point is, and we've talked about and said this before, what is your story? What is your story of Scripture? How has Scripture impacted your life? And how can you share Christ's word with other people? That's a part of our gathering. That's a part of our job as the gathered believers. Whether we're in a closed upper room by ourselves in a room like this morning, or we're out dispersed in the world, what is your story? How do you proclaim Scripture as you go about your week? Koinonia, the sharing and the spiritual communion. The spiritual communion, sharing our possessions. My nephew has gone to worshiping in a Quaker church, which is a little different from this pastor because I realize he's not celebrating the sacrament and he's not doing some things that I would normally have him do, but that's the choice he's made. And if you're not familiar with the Quaker tradition, they celebrate communion without elements. They do it as a prayer time. I could live with that. I'm glad he's doing that, but I'd want him to have the sacrament. But the important point is that we're called to be in communion. We're called to be together in communion, in sharing, and spiritual time together, as well as sharing with one another with our possessions. How does your possession affect someone else? How do you share what you have with someone else who has none or needs some of what you have? And what would happen in those days is that if someone came or fell into need, they would share out of what they had, and they might take three or four of them to cover that. And I think we do that in this church. We do it in the church at large. But that's one of our goals, is to be a church that shares in community. Diakonia, or sharing. Sharing of meals and sharing in the commemoration of the Lord's Supper. opportunities in which we come together as the body to share together around the table. And that doesn't have to be even just here. Anytime you get together around the table with other Christian, with other people, you're sharing in koinonia. And hopefully Christ is present in your midst. Hopefully Christ is present in your midst. And lastly, prayer. I don't know about you, but I think this church is masters in the prayer department. We put out stuff on the internet. We put out stuff on the emails. We pray in this church. We pray. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in a church. Oh, none of the churches I've ever been in have not been praying churches. But that's one of our key pieces. Praying for one another. Praying for the Catholics. Praying for the Muslims. Praying for the Jews. Praying. Doesn't matter who they are. We all stand in the need of prayer. We also need to offer back to God our greatest thanksgiving for what God is doing in our life. So our goal as a gathered people is to be sharing. It's to be sharing the Word of God. It's to be sharing in the meal, as well as being a praying church. And my hope this morning is that we continue to work at being that gathered body of people who share, who pray, who give to others, and who share the message of Christ, no matter where we are, whether it's here, whether it's in our homes, or whether it's somewhere else. Because it doesn't matter where we are still the gathered body of believers, whether we're United Methodists or we're Pentecostals. We're all one body, and we need to behave that way no matter where we are. Amen. from our gathered homes to gather in this space as the gathered body of Christ. And now we leave to go back out into the world to share the message, to share our possessions, and to share our prayer with those whom we meet this week. And may they find themselves gathered together with you around a table where they might share the love of Christ wherever they are. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.